I am really excited and happy to kind of slowly getting settled in. If you're new with us, if you are a guest with us, I'm Pastor Kirby. This is my second time speaking and working, teaching up here with you, and I'm just really excited and happy to do it. And we're starting a series today we're calling Happy. Happy. And who doesn't like to be happy, right? It's a great place. Some of us find it sometimes fleeting, but it's happy. And we're going to look at what it means to have lifelong happiness and joy through the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is one of those church words that we use. Somebody looked at me, I asked what I'm doing this week, and I told them we're starting a series about the Beatitudes, and they looked at me like I was speaking German. They didn't understand it. But the Beatitudes are things found in the book of Matthew. It talks about, leads up to the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, and it's just some awesome ways that Jesus teaches us what lifelong happiness and joy and fulfillment and contentment looks like. And so we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at that and what it truly means, because there are situations that make us happy. Like I said, my family is back with me. We're together again. I'm happy about that. I look out and I see many of you that have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ and called him the Lord, and that makes me super, super happy. But you know what also makes me happy is those of you that are here and you're just asking questions. You're not sure about this God thing. You're just looking and you're wondering, but it makes me so happy that you're here. There's happiness, right? We have things in our life that makes us happy. And what does Jesus say about happy? Because I can guarantee you it's more than just a Pharrell Williams room without a roof happy. There's more to it than that. Some of you don't understand cultural references, I'm sorry. But there's more to it, because who wants to live in a room without a roof, right? It doesn't make sense. But that's a song. Okay. Anyways, when I was a kid growing up, I wanted to be a professional athlete. I think a lot of young men and women want to be a professional athlete. But it didn't take long for me to realize what it took to do that. And it took a lot of skill. I didn't have it. I had some skill. But to be a professional athlete, you needed a lot. So that dream, that desire went waning, and I didn't have that dream anymore. So I had to figure out, okay, now what? Well, I like music. So I want to do radio. I want to do music and radio. I love all genres. I love music of all sorts, and it's just great. It fills me up. So I want to do radio. Because again, I learned that I'm not going to go into the music business as an entertainer, because that whole talent thing. Right? So I had to find another way to do it. So I wanted to do radio, and so I started pursuing this road, but the problem was God called me a long time ago to full-time vocational ministry, and I didn't want to do it. And so I pushed back, and I said, yeah, okay, fine, but I want to do this. And so I started pursuing radio, and I loved it. It was so much fun. But at some point, God and I had a conversation. And he posed a would you rather question. Have you ever heard of these, the would you rathers? I love these questions. These are some of my favorite questions, and my wife, Jessica, just laughs at me with them, but I love them because they're great icebreakers. When I lead a group, I love to do icebreakers and help us get to know each other and help me understand you a little bit. And they're really, really simple, but some can be complex. And it started off early. I didn't really know what I was doing, so I started asking simple questions. Would you rather drink Coke or Pepsi? Right? It's a simple question, but the problem was stubborn people, none of you, but some stubborn people would say neither. That's not the game. The game is would you rather, not would you neither. Okay, so you have to pick one. That's how the game works. So I realized that might have been oversimplified. So I had to come up with a more challenging. Would you rather kick a puppy or push an old lady? Don't judge me. You know for a fact you're answering in your brain already what you would do. Look out, older ladies. No, I'm kidding. But the deal is, we are posed with the would you rather, right? And they're fun because they give us insight about who we are and what we want to do. And God gave me that question. Kirby, would you rather go into radio and have a job that you kind of enjoy? Or would you rather follow me down the path and have a life that's full and full of joy and purpose? And I asked God if it's a trick question. Because we're posed with the would you rather question every single day. Every single day we're given a would you rather question. And it's would you rather live life to the fullest or would you rather go your own way? What would you choose to do? We're given that question. Because the reality is you're given a choice. God says, would you rather do this or this? You are given a choice to follow him or not follow him. Because if there was a day where he said, God, I give you my life, I surrender to you, you are the Lord of my life, it doesn't all of a sudden say, God says, okay, I got it from here. He doesn't take the strings and puppeteers and start directing and guiding every decision you make. That would be robotic. That would be puppeteering. That's not love. And God is a loving, merciful God. He gives us a choice. So every day we are given that would you rather question. Would you rather follow me in my path or do you want to make a path of your own and struggle and not be fulfilled? Would you rather? See, God designed and set up this path for us to have a life of fullness. So let me ask you this. Would you rather have a life based on happenings or events and happiness based on that, or would you rather have a life that's full based on God's plan for your life? Some examples of this. When you walk in this morning, you saw a friend and put a smile on your face. That makes you happy, right? Who doesn't like to see a friend? We love to see friends. It makes us happy. It makes us all sorts of things. I like those videos you see on like America's Funniest Home Videos. You know, like there's a kid with a plastic bat and they smack like the dad or something, or somebody trips and falls or get electrocuted. I don't know. But I love those videos. They're weird and I'm watching them and I'm smiling and somebody looks at me and it's like, that guy's happy, right? That's the identifier. I love to golf. I've never had a hole in one, but I've had some good scores and good shots. They make me happy, right? We have happy events in our life all the time. All the time there's happy events, but the problem is that's based on a happening. That's based on an event in our life. So the happiness wanes. The happiness wears off. It is not ongoing. It doesn't keep going. That card you get from grandma with money in it, eventually you'll spend the money. The happiness wears off. It's based on something. But here's the trick. The opposite is also true. There are events and activities and things in our lives that make us sad, that make us unhappy. Your boss, you get fired. Your kids drive you crazy. Your parents drive you crazy. There are things in our life that make us unhappy. So it's this roller coaster of a life. And if we base our entire happiness, our joy, our fulfillment, our purpose on these events, it's going to end. The happiness will end. The pain will end. Everything will end. So let's get back to the would you rather question I asked. Would you rather have a happiness based on a happening that thing that I feel or experience, or would you rather have happiness based on God's plan that's fueled by God's power? That's the would you rather. You may not be able to answer that yet. That's okay. Many of you are still searching. Many of you are figuring it out. I get it. Keep coming. Because what I hope to do at the end of this series, after a 6-week series, what I hope to do is be able to answer that question. And to be able to that question, my answer to that question is yes. I choose to live my life down the path God has chosen. That is my decision. That's my would you rather. So keep coming. Even if you don't have an answer for that right now, keep coming and check out what is the answer. Because we allow these situations and these events in our life to so control us and so dictate how we live our lives and how we react to things that we become a slave to those emotions and to those things and feelings. We no longer allow God to guide us. We no longer allow God to be the basis and foundation of our joy, our happiness, and our purpose. Instead, we allow the things that fail to leave us. But here's the hard part. When we call on God to be our Lord and Savior, yes, he's not puppeteering us and guiding us. But we have this This idea of faith that says, if I live my life, it's like a boomerang. If I live my life right, if I said yes to God, it's going to come back to me. We say it's like karma. And we treat God like karma. That if I said yes to God, naturally life will be easy. Naturally, there will be no cancer in this world, in my life anyways. There'll be no shortcomings of finances. There'll be nothing. It'll just be easy because I said yes to God. Problem is, it doesn't work that way, and I'm sorry about that. I truly am. But it doesn't work that way. But if we hold the foundation of our happiness on God, when those things come, we're able to get through them because God gives us the power to do that. And it's not based on the circumstance and the feeling of the event. Does that make sense? Because when you take God's path, here's the key. You get God's power. God's power. God sneezed and created these animals. You think of the most powerful. I was reading about Chernobyl this week and the devastation that that caused. God's bigger. That's pretty cool. So God's this powerful thing, but you know what? God is also personal. Think about that. This God that is so big and strong and powerful, he's personal. He cares about each of you. He cares about those things in your life. He cares about who you are and what you choose. See, the key is when you choose God's path, he provides you that power. So you're going to chart your own path on your own power and your own wisdom, or are you going to chart a path on God's? See, the problem is when we rely on our own power, our own wisdom, our own talents, our own money, we come up like I did a long time ago and realizing I'm probably not good enough to accomplish it. Because it's finite. For those of you, anything like me, that means it's limited. Okay, it's finite, but God's power, God's ability is infinite. That means it's unending. It doesn't stop. It's not contained. It can never run out. I said earlier I like sports and I grew up doing that but every now and then I'll go to events. I like professional, college, high school, all this stuff. I love watching kindergarten soccers just kind of herd around, and it's fun to watch. But in high school, they have these events usually. They're called senior nights. You know what I'm talking about? Now, high school seniors, some of you fit the other senior category. This is for high school seniors. Follow? So high school seniors on the team, they invite them to the front with their parents and say, this is Billy Bob. Billy Bob, what are you going to do? Billy Bob says, I'm going to be a millionaire with a garage full of cars. Sally Mae, what are you going to do? Sally Mae says, I'm going to be a famous actress in Hollywood. Whatever. And they go around and these students, these seniors, tell what they're going to do, what their plan and their path is for life. The problem is their path is all based on the things that they are going to accomplish, what we are going to do, right? And it becomes limited to that area. And it's dependent upon their own abilities. It's dependent upon their own structure and power to get it. So would you rather have that path where you have to figure everything out, or would you rather have God's path where you get his power? Because when you go down your path of your choice, you're always looking for somebody else's resources. You're always going to need those resources to get you to the next level. You remember that old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? You're always going to need something. Anybody watch the show Shark Tank? Anybody ever watch that show? Yeah, I got one person watch Shark Tank. Awesome. So since nobody watches it, here's the premise. There are four or five chairs up front, and there's some, not judges, but they're a bunch of rich people. And they're millionaires. They're the sharks. And this person comes into the room and has a business plan or an idea, and they present it to the sharks, and they ask the sharks for money, for resources to make their business thrive. And there was a guy I watched once, he owned a muffin factory, I kid you not, a muffin factory, and he tells the sharks, he says, I need $250,000 to expand my muffin factory business. And in return, you will get 25% of my business, all right? basic understanding, that's how it works, okay? And then the millionaires at that point says, I'll take it, I'll give you this, and this is what you'll give me, and it's an agreement. Otherwise, they say, I'm out. They don't want it, okay? So he comes in and they give it. See, it's all dependent upon these people saying, yes, I will give you the resources you need to take it to the next level. But here's the really cool thing. God never says, I'm out. Ever. His resources don't stop. He doesn't ask you, what's in it for me? God's resources are never ending. He doesn't stop. Now, as weird as this sounds, this got me thinking, Shark Tank got me thinking of you. I don't know why, but I do know why. Because when we show up, when we say, God, I'm going to take your path. He says, okay, I am with you. I am with you 100%. Some of you are going to choose your own path and you're going to depend upon the sharks. You're going to depend upon their resources and their money. And at some point, that's going to run out. It's going to end. The cars will break. The money will be spent. The emotional attachment will be over. At some point, it's out. But God never says, I'm out. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at what the Bible says about happiness and joy and lifelong fulfillment. And I want you to do something. Over the next week, I want you to reflect on something. I want you to reflect on, what are those times that I'm happy? What are those events? What are those things that make me happy? And maybe on the flip side, I don't want you to dwell on this too much. What are those things or those situations or times that I feel unhappy? And I want you to start identifying and reflecting on those circumstances that get us in these places of highs and lows. It could be anything. We could lose that job. Our kids could disappoint us. Right? Our parents could disappoint. All these things. What are the areas that get us in these highs and our lows? And what I want you to do as you start to reflect, I want you to start looking to Jesus. You start thinking of these situations. You start thinking the goods and the bads. And I want you to start focusing on Jesus, because what we're going to do over the next few weeks in this series, we're going to take a look at some of the verses called the Beatitudes. And we're going to look at, so this week, read over Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Just 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7. And it's a Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes start in Matthew chapter 5. And it's just life-changing, awesome challenge that Jesus taught these people, that he showed them a new way to go about it. And it's incredible. There's some really awesome stuff in there. And if we read it too fast, we're going to miss it all. We're going to miss everything that God is going to try and teach us, and Jesus is trying to teach us. All right, mind-blowing stuff. So what I want to do, I want to read the Beatitudes this morning from Matthew 5. And I'm going to read it in a translation that I guarantee you are not reading at this moment, unless you're on your phone. But I want you to pick up on a couple of things, okay? So as you're reading, we're going to talk about those things, but I want to read it really quick with you. So Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 3. Those people who know they have great spiritual needs are happy. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Those who are sad now are happy. God will comfort them. Those who are humble are happy. The earth will belong to them. Those who want to do right more than anything else are happy. God will fully satisfy them. Those who give mercy to others are happy. Mercy will be given to them. Those who are pure in their thinking are happy. They will be with God. Those who work to bring peace are happy. God will call them his sons. Those who are treated badly for doing good are happy. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. That's a quick look at the Beatitudes. Jesus is saying, do you want to be happy? Do you really, truly want to be happy? Because I've got some ideas for you. You're probably not going to like some of them. They're not going to be the easiest thing to do. But I've got them, if you would follow me. Now, what I want to do, I want to take 5, verse 3. Just verse 3. I want to look at them in three different translations. And there's a key word in there. So pay attention. Key word in chapter 5, verse 3 that I want you to see. Okay? The first translation is this. God blesses those who realize their need for him. The next translation, blessed are the poor in spirit. The next one says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more for God to rule. Do you catch the key word? Blessed. So as you read this week, you'll probably pick up in your translations, blessed are. It's synonymous with happy. Blessed is synonymous with happy. So if I'd use that same verse and replace blessed with happy, here's what it looks like. Happy are those who realize their need for him. Happy are those who realize they're not God. Happy are those who realize that God is all they've got. See, the summarization of that is a step towards happiness happens when we understand the bigger picture of life. That God is God, and mind-boggling, you're not. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you're not. Now, at the same time, we're not walking around thinking we are, right? We're not declaring that to everybody. We go to a conference and take that name tag. Hello, my name is Deity. You know, we're not doing that. First day of school, hey, Jonathan, John, can I call you John? No, you can call me the Almighty One. We're not doing that, right? We don't do that. I understand it. But what it looks like, we try to control everything. We control the outcome. We control the circumstances. We control what we know and understand. If somebody's dealing with cancer, if I can figure out what caused it and I can tell them, that gives me an answer. That gives me an answer to something I don't understand. But if I can understand it, then it makes sense. And if it makes sense, then I'm God. The difficulty is there are many things in this life that we won't understand. I'm sorry. But when we try to control it, when we try to understand everything, and we try to give people all the answers or try to find all the answers for something that we don't even understand, we're saying, don't worry, God, I got it figured out. And we take control and we don't give it up. That's how, one of the ways that we can pretend to be God. So we have two options. We can pretend to be God and control everything and understand everything and provide an answer for everything, or we can just go down God's path, understanding that he's a foundation of what we're going to do and believe and know that he's with us. That's not going to take away things. That's not going to take away some of the concern and fear. That's not going to take away the situations, and it definitely won't take away the joy. But it gives us the power and direction and a foundation to stand on that will never stop or ending. So we have a couple options. We can pretend that we're God, or we cannot. See, but God is not only powerful, God is personal. One last, would you rather follow the others, those other things that make you feel happy, or would you rather follow God? And by others, I'm not talking about people necessarily. It could be, oh, he's so dreamy. You complete me, right? We have that thing. But then something happens, doesn't it? We've all experienced it. Oh, how are you and Bob? Oh, he's a jerk. Something happens. We all like, oh, if only I had the latest version of the cell phone. Then I could be happy because then I can get all these cool apps and do these cool things and make funny looking face emotes, something. Then I'd be happy. But the problem is if you're anything like me, you drop your phone. And it cracks, it scratches, it gets ruined. And what do you got to do? You got to get a new one, right? Or hey, oh, the iPhone, what, 9? I don't know, whatever new one is out. That's the one I want. Then I'll be fulfilled, right? So we look for all these things. Some of us have replaced the joy and happiness with a substance. We use alcohol or drugs to fill that purpose and that love and that happiness in our life, because it answers that fear we have. On social media, we just want people to like our posts, and we find value in how many people have liked us. I heard somebody say once that in a culture desperate for likes, All we really long for is to be loved. We're culture looking for love and purpose, but we're finding it and looking for it in the wrong path, in our own path. You know, a lot of us, we're living in a way that we're building this path and we're designing this path and we're running again and again into struggles, into things that, man, if only I could get something. And we're so dependent on other people, those sharks in our life or other things, that it's hard. While God is over here saying, hey, I've got something for you over here. I've got a path filled with solid footing. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to have power to overcome it. Look what I've got. Are we willing to accept that or take that? So which would you rather you would have? And you say, you know what? I'm living my life. It's pretty good right now. What do I need God for? Eventually, that stuff will fade. And so you have a choice. Would you rather go your own path on your own power, or would you rather take God's path and claim his power? And let me show you a really cool promise. Here's something that happens. You call on God and say, God, be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I'm going to take your path. I'm going to give you control. I'm yours. Here's a really cool promise. God says, I will light up your path. You will not live in darkness. I don't like living in darkness. You ever do that bathroom run at 2 a.m. and stub your toe on the bed? That's dark. I hate the darkness. About lose your salvation over that one. It's like, God says, I'm going to light it up. I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to show you the path. And you're going to see some of these things. Here's the promise. It's so cool. John 8, I am the light of the world. If you follow me down that path, if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have a light that leads to life. This is from the Old Testament in Psalm 89. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence. God's presence is the light. Happy are those who walk with him. And then in Psalm 119, this is my happy way of life, obeying your commandments. In other words, follow God's way. Would you rather obey your way or would you rather obey God's way? Because we've all got a choice. It's not your parents. It's not the news. It's not the politicians. It's your choice. Whose path, whose way are you going to choose? You're going to choose the path with a light that is lit and directed and strong? Or are you going to lead a path that is your own strength, your own power, but it's dependent on other people? You've got a choice. So as I invite the band to come up front, I want to give you the opportunity. If you've never done that, if you never said, God, I want to give you my life, I want to follow your path. I've been doing it too long on my own, and it's dark and it's dreary, and I can't figure it out. Everything I do seems to be broken and a mess. God, I want to take your path. That's kind of scary to me, but I want to do it. You can do that today. And it's easy. It's not scary at all. It's not hard. I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that. So would you pray with me quick? Would you bow your heads? God, we're here this morning, and a lot of us have been trying to do this so much on our own. We have been trying to figure out how to go through this life and create this path. And some of us have created a pretty good path for ourselves, and it leads many, many happy things in our life. But God, there's some of us in here who would say, God, I've tried to do it on my own. And even if I am in a really happy place, God, that's going to end. What would it look like to follow you? To have a life built on joy and happiness, that when the troubles come, I have something to stand on. If you want to do that this morning. It's really easy. You don't even have to repeat everything I said. There's no magical phrase. It's not magic. You say, God, I give you my life. I surrender it to you. I can't do this anymore. What does it look like to take your path? And God, as we come before you this morning, we're thankful that you are in this place. We are thankful that we can come without barriers, that you are not contained in these simple four walls that we know at some point will fail. But God, you will never fail. You are with us every single step. You are lighting the path of where we need to go. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. So God, we give you this morning, we give you the rest of this afternoon. We're thankful that you're going to be with us this afternoon with our family when we're in our chair. We're thankful that you'll be with us at work this week, at school when it gets started. God, help us to see our path. We thank you. Amen. If you made that talk, talk to God this morning about that, we'd love to just talk with you. Talk to Pastor Andrew, myself, Pastor Nathan. Talk to us. Share that with us. We'd love to pray with you over that and give you some resources. But God bless you. Pastor Andrew and the band is going to lead us in one last song.